Good morning. Welcome to our service and a special welcome to any visitors that we have worshipping with us this morning. A couple of intimations. It says on the order of service that there will be a tradecraft stall in the main hall. Cupboards will be opened for anyone who wants to buy anything, but there is actually no stall. And John Troop has asked me to notify you that the bags down here are the bags with the Christmas decorations. So if you were sponsoring a tree, can you please take your decorations away with you and look after them? I'm pleased to be able to welcome the Reverend Mark Rogers, who is leading us in worship once again. Mark, welcome to Coltskirk.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you for your welcome, Graham, and good morning to everyone. And may I extend my welcome to you on this, the last Sunday of 2017. And so we prepare our hearts to worship God. As we worship him, we listen to these words. Jesus said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." We worship God together with a short prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, moons wax and wane, but your love remains constant. Every day and every year reaches an end, but your mercy lasts forever. Therefore, on this Sunday, we will worship and praise you with grateful hearts. And to your name be the glory and the praise forever and ever. Amen. And so we worship God as we sing the hymn 324, "Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth." Hymn 324.
Angels from the realms of glory, bring your flight for all the earth.
the young people and to the young at heart. I trust that includes all of us. I have a visual aid with me this morning. It's a tin, a box of chocolates that is nearly empty. All that's left are some hard centres. Now, the reason I bring this is that in the place where I work, at the chaplain's office in Aberdeen Royal Infirmary, in the few weeks coming up to Christmas, we usually receive a number of boxes or tins of chocolates. We get some from the wards, we get some from patients or relatives, we get some from our volunteer visitors. And my colleagues, the other chaplains that I work with, do what to me is an outrageous thing. They tell our secretary that she must hide all these boxes of chocolates that come in at Christmas from me. Can you imagine? It's outrageous. And when I challenge them about this, they say to me things like, well, we want the chocolates to last at least until the end of January or the beginning of Lent, and that will not happen if I have free access to them. It's unjustified, I can assure you. Or they say, because I'm the only chaplain working on the Forester Hill site between Christmas and New Year, they don't want, when they come back to work in the New Year, find that all that's left in the boxes of chocolates are the hard centres and the coffee creams, which are my least favourite chocolates. I'm sure you all have favourite chocolates and least favourite chocolates. I'm sure you've received in your own households many boxes of chocolates and have been methodically, systematically working your way through them at this time of the year. I don't know what's your favourite chocolate or your least favourite chocolate. There are many, many choices, and sometimes, as in this tin, you get a little card, a guide to what's inside each of the chocolates. And there are coffee creams and hard centres. Those are my least favourite. There are strawberry creams, hazelnut brittle, soft caramel, nutty ones, plain ones, and rich ones wrapped in gold foil. And we probably like most of them, but I'm sure that there are some that are our least favourites. And as I said, for me, it's coffee creams and hard centres, or if it's a box of celebrations, then the Milky Ways, Mars bars I can leave. It's the Maltesers that go very quickly with me. And just as we have our favourite chocolates and our least favourite chocolates, so we also have favourite people and least favourite people. Some people that we are maybe not so happy with and we're happy to leave them behind. And one of the messages of this season of the year is that God doesn't have any favourites. God loves us all. Some people are a bit stern, like the hard centres, and we're told that Jesus loves them. Some people are a bit brittle and easy upset. Jesus loves them. Some people are soft and sweet, like the strawberry creams. Jesus loves them. And some are just plain, and he loves them just as much as the rich ones wrapped in gold. And we know that because the Bible, the scriptures tell us that God loves us all, that he has no favourites, and he doesn't show favouritism to us. However, there's another theme at this time of the year to remember, because although God has no favourites, the theme of favour weaves its way through the Christmas story. So the angel speaking to Mary said, Mary, you have found favour with God. And the angels say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom God's favour rests. And we're told that Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favour with God and with men. So although it is true that God has no favourites and he loves us all, there is a sense in which we can seek in our lives the favour of God. And what a good thing to seek on the cusp, on the threshold of a new year, the favour of God. And in a sense, we get little clues as to that favour from the gospel reading that we're going to be having later in our service from Luke chapter 2, because it mentions two people that are often a little bit like the leftover sweets in the tin, two people who are often neglected and left over in the gospel story. And those two people are Simeon and Anna. And we're told that they waited all their lives for the coming of the Messiah. They waited in a place called the temple, which was their church, and they waited for the Messiah to be born. And they remind us that Christmas Day may be over, but our worship and our thanksgiving should always continue and not be left over or left out. That's the way to obtain God's favour, to go on worshipping and thanking and praising him each and every day, especially in our temple, in our church, but also every day in our homes. And if we do that, we will indeed obtain the favour of God. And so that's our little thought for the young and for the young at heart. We're going to sing our next hymn. It's the hymn 316, Love Came Down at Christmas. Hymn 316. Together in prayer, let us all pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before you in the shadow of a dying year, a year in which we have broken our vows, promised much and accomplished little, succeeded sometimes but failed too often. Each conscience has its own sad tale to tell of time misspent, talents unused, and duties neglected. Forgive us those sins, we pray, O Lord, and forgive also our bitter complaints because certain selfish desires and dreams were denied us. And may the Almighty and merciful Lord grant us pardon and remission of our sins, time for amendment and the grace and comfort of his Holy Spirit. Almighty God, by whose mercy we've been allowed to live through another year of our life, let not that experience pass without yielding its lessons. Teach us from the mistakes we made to be more humble and tolerant. Teach us from the many blessings we have received to be more grateful and kind. Teach us from the sorrows we have suffered to be more sympathetic and helpful. O Lord Jesus Christ, who warned us not to go on storing up treasure on earth, reduce our longing to accumulate money and costly possessions. Increase in us a desire for those better things which moth and rust do not spoil, and thieves cannot steal. We thank and praise you, O God, for bringing us in safety and good heart to the end of this year. You have been our joys in days of sunshine and our refuge when storms broke over our heads. You have been far kinder than we deserved, for which we shall be forever grateful. For guiding our steps and guarding our souls, for preserving our health and giving us friends, we give you thanks, O God, for comforting our sorrows and answering our prayers, for giving us your grace and sheltering us in your church. We give you thanks, O God. And so, as later on today we will ring out the old year and ring in the new, may we in this place, on this day, renew ourselves in your service. And to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, blessed Trinity, may we give you praise this day and every day. So we worship you. We give you thanks for your presence with us in the year that is nearly gone, and in anticipation of your presence with us in the year that is to come. guide and go before us, granting us your help and your blessing. Receive the honour and the praise and the glory that is your due. And hear us as together we are bold to say the words that Jesus taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And so we have our scripture readings.
Our first reading is from Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 61, verses 10 to chapter 62, verse 3. And this is on page 724 of the Good News Bible. Jerusalem rejoices because of what the Lord has done. She is like a bride dressed for her wedding. God has clothed her with salvation and victory. As surely as seeds sprout and grow, the sovereign Lord will save his people, and all the nations will praise him. I will speak out to encourage Jerusalem. I will not be silent until she is saved, and her victory shines like a torch in the night. Jerusalem, the nations will see you victorious. All their kings will see your glory. You will be called by a new name, a name given by the Lord himself. You will be like a beautiful crown for the Lord. Second reading is from Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 2, verse 15 to 32. And this is on page 76 of the New Testament of the Good News Bible. When the angels went away from them back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and saw the baby lying in the manger. When the shepherds saw him, they told them what the angel had said about the child. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said. Mary remembered all these things and thought deeply about them. The shepherds went back singing praises to God for all they had heard and seen. It had been just as the angel had told them. A week later, when the time came for the baby to be circumcised, he was named Jesus, the name which the angel had given him before he had been conceived. The time came for Joseph and Mary to perform the ceremony of purification, as the law of Moses commanded. So they took the child to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be dedicated to the Lord. They also went to offer a sacrifice of a pair of doves or two young pigeons, as required by the law of the Lord. At that time, there was a man named Simeon living in Jerusalem. He was a good, devout man and was waiting for Israel to be saved. The Holy Spirit was with him and had assured him that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's promised Messiah. Led by the Spirit, Simeon went into the temple. When the parents brought the child Jesus into the temple to do for him what the law required, Simeon took the child in his arms and gave thanks to God. Now, Lord, you have kept your promise, and you may let your servant go in peace. With my own eyes, I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light to reveal your will to the Gentiles and bring glory to your people, Israel. Thanks be to God for these readings of his holy word.
Thank you, Bruce. So we sing our next hymn, hymn 326, As with gladness, men of old did the guiding star behold. Hymn 326. Let us pray. In the heavenly country bright, need they know created light. Thou its light, its joy, its crown. Thou its sun which goes not down. Our Father, we pray that you would grant us light and understanding as we meditate upon your truth. May your Spirit be with us to inspire and to guide us and to show us the way that we should go. And all we pray through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. I think we are all familiar with the concept of Christmas returns. Someone gives you a sweater or a shirt or some other article of clothing that doesn't quite fit. Or maybe you don't really like the way it looks on you, and so you take it back to the store and return it for something else you can wear more easily. And if you have been in the stores in these days after Christmas, you will find counters littered with returns. And depending on the store, and if you've got the receipt, you have the right to the middle or the end of next month to return and to exchange the ill-fitting, unwanted gifts. A few Christmases ago, I received 3 scarves to add to my not inconsiderable collection. 2 of them had gift receipts whereby you could return them to a well-known retailer and exchange them for something else. To quote from an older version of our reading from Luke's Gospel, I seriously pondered the possibility. But in the end, I did nothing and I kept the scarves. Over the Advent season earlier this month, we progressively proclaimed the Christmas gifts of the Incarnation: hope, peace, joy, and love. The Incarnation of God in the flesh proclaims so much more than divine empathy or understanding. The Incarnation claims that in the birth of Jesus Christ, God took on our fleshly feeling, our concerns, our frailty, and even our mortality. That is what he received from us. And what we receive from him are the gifts that he brings from heaven: hope, peace, joy, and love. Today's question is, which of God's Christmas gifts do you want to return because it doesn't really fit you very well? Do you need to return hope because you don't believe anything is going to change for the better in your life or in this world? Do you think that you're on the other side of life's hopeful experiences? As a middle-aged man once told me, I have passed all the really interesting choices in life. Now all that is left are the consequences. What a thought. Or even if you are young, do you find the gift of hope ironically makes you despair? And is that because you've already had too many disappointments from hope, so you would just as well not receive the gift anymore? Or do you need to return peace because you think it's only a word from the angels that we drag out every Christmas, but it doesn't really make sense for the rest of the year? The world hasn't known peace since the night Jesus was born and the promise of peace on earth was made. Maybe your life hasn't known very much of it either. The conflicts exist not only between nations, but also within our relationships and even within our hearts. There is no limit to the opportunities for anxiety with our health, with our children, with our money. None of it allows for much inner peace. We tell ourselves that to mature is to deal with the conflicts and the anxiety. So do you find the gift of peace to be just a sentimental idea from an out-of-touch heavenly father who doesn't realize you have outgrown such illusions? Do you need to return joy? Has an old hurt filled your heart so that there's really no room left for joy? Have you tried to protect that heart by becoming cynical of the very notion of joy? A woman once responded when I asked her if she was going to have a Merry Christmas in these words: "I'm just trying not to disappoint my mother-in-law again this year." Not much openness for joy there. Cynicism comes as a result of lowering your expectations until we no longer have room for joy. Or have you wasted too many years trying to find your joy in places other than the Incarnation? The workplace will never give you enough joy. Not even a healthy home or marriage or set of friendships can provide enough joy. The secret to enjoying these relationships is not to try and make them your savior. Or do you need to return love? Do you work so hard for the people who are most important to you that you have somehow crossed a line in order to make yourself necessary to them? If you are devoted to being necessary, then you will not be able to accept the gift of love. An old theological professor once wrote these words: "You are too important to be necessary. You should be loved. But love is always and only a choice. We have no choice about things that are necessary." It wasn't necessary for God to become flesh and dwell among us. The blessing is that he chose to do this out of love. Why would you want to be necessary when you could be loved? Maybe you trust necessity more. If you try to be necessary to the people around you, it will leave you exhausted, irritable, and so lonely. Or is the problem that there are not enough people around you anymore? Has loneliness so shaped your soul that when you try on the Christmas gift of love, you think it best to return because it doesn't really fit? When the shepherds told everyone they met about the angel, the glory of God around them, and the message that a Savior was born to them, all were amazed and astonished. It just seemed too good to be true because it didn't really fit with their experience, so they just disappear from the story. History never hears again from those who returned their astonishment over the incarnation. And one of the terrifying aspects of the Christmas story is that if you want to return the Christmas gifts, the Heavenly Father will let you. When the shepherds told Mary about what they had seen and heard, she wasn't astonished. Instead, we're told she treasured their words, pondering them in her heart. She does a lot of this. When the angel Gabriel announced that she would conceive the Savior, Mary was perplexed. And when the shepherds told her about their experience, she pondered their words. 12 years later, when Jesus was told her in the temple that he had to be about his Father's business, Mary treasured his words and she pondered them again. To ponder is to take heart and to brood over words that are confusing. To ponder is not the same thing as returning the gift. It is to keep it in the closet of your heart until you figure out how to wear it. It takes Mary a long time to do this. Maybe this is where you find yourself this Christmas, not wanting to return the gifts, but not knowing exactly what to do with them. That's okay. Pondering is clearly a biblical option. But our text provides another one. The shepherds offer a wonderful approach to the practice of returning after Christmas. They simply return to their life as shepherds, but they take the gifts of Christmas with them. Rather than giving them back or tucking them away, they allow the ordinary to be transformed by all they had seen and heard. If the promises of Christmas are just astonishing, then it is only a holiday from everything that is ordinary. But if the promises are seen and heard, then Christmas is a holy day, and holy days are the days when you get a glimpse of the true essence of something. They are epiphanies, they are revelations in which God appears within your fleshly life. Holy days peel back the veneer of the ordinary experiences to allow you to see the truth beneath them. A student is feeling like the weight of the world on his shoulders as he trudges to the library. There are so many exams and so many papers to complete, and all of them seem to cast a shadow on his future. And when he gets to the library, he opens the door just in time to allow a blind student to walk through. And then he realizes how incredibly blessed he has been. Everything he really needs, he has already been given. These days after Christmas, this last day of the year, these are holy days. Their purpose, like Christmas, is to see what is always true about our lives. In the words of T.S. Eliot, the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started and to know the place for the first time. Christmas is a call to wake up and to see and to hear the gifts of hope and peace and joy and love that have been woven into the lives that we already have. And although Christmas is over, we return to caring for our sheep. We return to our lives' routines. Perhaps not yet, perhaps for another few days we enjoy the holidays. But we return and we take into the new year whatever we have been given to glorify and to praise God. And on the way, and the way that you do that is to embrace your life, which is already embraced by the God who became flesh to be with you. And so, on the cusp of this new year, after this Christmas season, we return. We return with the gifts. We may not understand them. Some of them may ring hollow to us because of our lives' experiences at the moment. But we, like Mary, we put them in the closet of our hearts and we ponder them. And one day, by God's grace, we will see how they fit our lives. And we return and we go forward into the experiences of this new year to worship and to praise and to serve God. So we take a moment in the silence to ponder these things. Let us pray. Our God and Father, like Mary, we would indeed ponder the truths of your word, the truths that we have heard from your scriptures. Be with us as we begin to return to the normal routine of life, and as we return, help us to take with us the gifts that you offer us. Help us to take hope. Some of us this past year may have been battered by the experiences of life and hope seems to ring hollow. But help us to take hope for the future. Help us not to return the gift, but to ponder it and to wear it. And help us to take peace. We know the violence and the unrest in our world perhaps mocks this concept. We know the lack of peace perhaps that we've known in our own lives, in our own relationships, in our own families. But help us to ponder and help us to take this gift into the new year. And help us to take joy. Even if today joy is far from the surface of our lives and there are many things to depress and deplete and to exhaust us, but help us to treasure the joy that you have for us and help us to keep love no matter the disappointments, no matter the battering that our love has taken. Help us to cherish your love and to take it into the new year. So, our Father, we ponder as we approach this new year. We ponder in the silence all that you would speak to us and say to us concerning the year that is ahead. Father, help us to return to our lives, to our routines, to our caring for our sheep, to whatever life is we have been given, and help us to glorify and praise you with your gifts, with your grace, and with your mercy. And all we pray through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. The hymn is 313, See in Yonder Manger Low. Hymn 313.
Oh,
continue our worship of God as your offering is now received. Your offering will now be received. God and Father, we bring these gifts in acknowledgement of all the gifts that you have given to us, the love, the joy, the peace, the hope. For all the gifts you give to us, we give you thanks and praise, and these gifts we return as tokens of our love and devotion to you. We pray that you would accept these gifts, that you would bless them, that you would use them for your purposes and for your glory in this place and throughout the world. Almighty and eternal God, to whom 1,000 years are as a single day, hear our hasty prayers on this last Sunday, this last day of the year, for your church and for your world. To your love and power, we commend the congregations of your church throughout our land. May they set aside any failures in the past year and summon up their courage to tackle the duties that lie ahead. Stir the members of your church to a new loyalty of Christ, and may they not let a day pass without winning a victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. We pray in particular for this church. Be with this congregation as they move into a new year with a new minister and a new ministry beginning. With your blessing, please attend to that and prosper the work of your church in this place through its new minister and her family. Father in heaven, we pray for many millions in the world who are ill-fed, ill-clad, ill-housed, and many of them illiterate. Lay this burden of misery on the conscience of those who have power to release enough food or funds to meet much of this need. Father, we pray also for the millions who are suffering, those shut off in hospitals and sick rooms, those who are held in detention or refugee camps, and any whose homes are breaking up in anger and bitterness. Send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to them. Attend, O Lord, to those who are elderly and lonely, especially those who have fallen on difficult days and feel that no one cares. be with those who need your watchful care and kindly and the kindly patient care of others that they require. Guard, O God, we pray, all who travel in these days in wintry conditions by road or rail, by sea or air. Grant us your protection. May no human error or lack of concern for life lead to an accident and cause those who are travelling injury or worse. We pray, O Lord, that you would fill our homes with your presence and grant to our family members who have gathered at this time health, happiness, and kindly mirth through the love and grace of Jesus Christ. Our Father, we pray your blessing upon us as we again look forward to a new year. Help us to go forward in faith, knowing your presence with us and that your blessing will attend to us. God of all eternity, King of saints, we rejoice that we have fellowship here with all those who have gone before you, those who are living and those who have died, those who surround your throne in glory. May joy be with them and may we all meet again through Jesus Christ, your Son, to whom be praise and glory, world without end. So bless us. Continue with us in each day of the year that lies ahead. And may you receive the glory and the honour and the praise that is your due. And all we pray and all we ask of you through your Son, Jesus Christ, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Amen. Can I take this opportunity in anticipation of the new year coming in to wish you all, when it comes round, a very healthy and a happy new year and God's blessing in each day of the year 2018. We draw our service to a conclusion with hymn 237, Look Forward in Faith. Hymn 237, Look Forward in Faith. Faith and go forward in faith, and may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest with you this day and in the coming year and forevermore.